à toutes et tous. Welcome to another episode of Presque Parisienne. I'm your co-host Dilara, seated here today with your other co-host Kelly.
Bonjour tout le monde. Yeah, we are actually recording today in my apartment. Due to like a bit of a personal medical issue, I wasn't able to leave the apartment and meet Dilara in the city. So we decided to record here. And that sort of cafe ambience you might be able to hear is totally fake. It's like totally it's on Dilara's Spotify. But, you know, we always want to bring you a bit of ambience in the background.
Exactly. Okay, so today, actually, Kelly is buzzing because we are going to talk about the Paris Metro.
Yes, we are. And I have been looking forward to this one since we decided to start this podcast. Like, I can't wait. I actually can't wait.
Yeah, Kelly actually had the idea of doing an entire, like, a show on Paris Metro before, so...
Yeah, I did, yeah. But, lots of history in that one. It was a completely sort of different take I was going to take on it. And, you know what, it might still happen. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. So, today we're going to have a deep dive into the Metro and discuss a little bit of history, maybe.
Yeah.
The unspoken Metro rules, like the etiquette. And our top biggest Metro peeves. That's gonna be fun to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Kelly, what is it that you love about the Paris Metro? Let's start there.
You know, there is like nothing more Parisian than the Metro. I mean, it's like the beating heart of the city, and it's absolutely iconic. It's just an incredible feat of engineering. Every time I'm in it, I'm like, how did they do this? I love like the uniform white tiling in this in the stations, and when you're changing stations, the Art Nouveau signs, like the, you know, those entrances. They're not everywhere, but they're worth finding, and just it's just iconic, man.
Yeah, that's true. And I also particularly like that there are some stations that are designed to reflect the area. For example, I think it's Palais Royal, Musée du Louvre, yes, that one, on line one. It has some, like, replicas of famous works from the museum, which is, like, super cool. I actually, like, videoed some of those last week so that I can show them in our, like, Instagram stories.
Nice.
And on the Bastille platform, which I, like, happen to visit almost every day, you can see the recreation of the events from the Revolution on the walls, which is super cool.
On another platform on Bastille as well, I really love the fact that they've laid the outline of the walls of the actual prison on the, like, on the floor of the platform. It's super cool.
That's true, yeah, I forgot about that. There's also Arte Métier, which was designed to look like a submarine from Jules Verne novel. I don't know if you've been there.
Yeah, that's so cool. Like, on the inside, it's all kind of brass. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's super cool. So, I don't know. I find that, like, some stations, some kind of, like, pays a tribute to Parisian or French history, which is, like, super cool.
So, yeah, in addition to the ones that you've mentioned, another example, which is one of my favourite metro stations, is Concorde. And that's just right above Place de la Concorde. So that's where Marie Antoinette and Louis the 16th, along with, like, obviously loads of other people, were guillotined during the revolution. So the metro station, like, has a sort of design with, like, a kind of word search puzzle. And it just looks like random letters that are there. But actually, it's, like, phrases from the French Declaration des Droits de l'Homme, which is, like, the Declaration of the Rights of Man. It's very cool.
Oh, wow. I never paid attention to that.
So, yeah, it's just, like, fascinating to me. So let's talk a little bit about the history of the metro itself. Okay. I will really try to keep this as brief.
As if we just didn't do it. Like, and more history? Okay, kidding.
I'll try and keep this super brief. I'm really sorry. But, yeah. But mostly because the history of the construction is, like, extremely complicated, and had a lot of investors, a lot of engineers all working on the network. So I'm going to try and keep this as simple as possible. So in the mid-19th century, with the boom of the railways, there was a desire, like, to create, like, an urban network in Paris. But the Parisians were like, nope, we don't want any stinky railway in our city centre. So the plans for, like, an urban system were in dispute for nearly, like, 50 years while they were trying to figure out, like, the best possible way to get the city moving again. In that time, London, Moscow, and even Glasgow, like, managed to get, like, years ahead on construction of their own metro systems. I'll link like a little video to this. It's like a super fun. It's really short. It's only like 5 minutes, but it kind of talks about like the construction. So finally, after all of this, a man called Vulgence Bienvenu, he arrived with proposals to create 9 lines within Anthro-Muros, and he became like the sort of father of the metro system. And his station is at Montparnasse Bienvenu.
I always thought Montparnasse Bienvenu meant welcome to Montparnasse because like Bienvenu means welcome in French. Yeah. I didn't know that was the engineer's last name.
Yeah. Mr. Bienvenu. Yeah.
Monsieur Bienvenu.
Yeah. So the first line, obviously line one, imaginatively titled, that opened in 1900 during the World's Fair. There were about like 3,500 workers who worked on building just that one line.
May I just interrupt you there, Kelly, very quickly? Mm-hmm. I think people who've been listening to us for a while now do know that I have quite like a left-leaning political view, opinions on the world. Although we try to stay as natural as possible in this podcast. Yet the minute we talked about doing this episode, I kept saying to myself, there's no way I can do this episode without mentioning the modern slaves from the colonies. Yep. So the claim is that Paris Metro was built by non-paid workers who came from the colonies of France. So I had to look into this before we did this episode. And the claim is, I would say, half false and maybe half true. So the line one that you just mentioned, there were not that many people from the colonies in Paris back that in that time. Mm. So that claim is false. Like, those people were not in Paris. Like, there was no immigration back then, at least during that period. Although, like, moving forward, more and more people from the colonies came to Paris. Mm. And indeed, they did work in the construction of other lines of the Paris Metro. Were they paid or unpaid? I couldn't really find any information on this. Mm. But, like, given that we debunk Met's stereotypes and cliches in this podcast, I think it's important to mention this. Like, this claim doesn't have justification around it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry to interrupt you.
No worries. No. Thanks for clarifying, for sure. So, going back to the rest of the construction, most of the main central lines were completed by the 1920s. Mm-hmm. They were using, like, the cut-and-covered method, which kind of followed the roads above. Can you imagine that today? Can you imagine having these big like holes in the middle of the Paris streets? Can you imagine how much of a mess that would be today?
Oh, no, I can't.
Like,
I don't want to.
I know, like even putting cycle lanes is a nightmare. Can you imagine what this was like? Anyway, by the 30s, there were 13 inner city lines and they were finally extended to the suburbs, starting with Boulogne-Billancourt, which actually then kick-started the expansion of the metro into the suburbs.
Oh, okay.
After World War II, or thereabouts, the focus became to, like, modernise rather than extend, and that's when we got, like, kind of modernisation such as, like, randomly, like, the, you know, the rubber-tired trains, for example, that run on Line 6.
Yeah.
That's when those things started to be put in place. So between 1900 and 1913, Hector Guimard, he designed the first generation of these entrances that I kind of talked about before.
Yeah.
His Art Nouveau designs were like in cast iron and glass, and most of them dated back to like 1900. He also designed like the lettering for the Metropolitan.
I love the lettering, like the typology that is used. I just love it.
Yeah, and it became like metro style, or like, you know, so it kind of popularized Art Nouveau in the city as well. However, during those times, the sort of style judges, as they were in the day, they were absolutely scandalised by this. And also, like, the public weren't really into these, like, elaborate entrances either.
Imagine Parisians not liking changes in their city.
I know, right? Shocking. Nothing changes, really. So in 1904, his design for the opera station at Place de l'Opera, that was rejected. Then after it was rejected, like his affair with the Paris Metro was then ended.
Oh.
There's a really nice wiki article about it that shows some really lovely pictures of some of the entrances that actually did survive.
Okay.
I'll put a link to it in the show notes.
Okay.
These days, the metro is run by the Régie Autonome de Transport Parisien, or the RATP, as we so fondly know it. We now have 16 lines in total. The system is 226.9 kilometres long, or that's 141 miles. and mostly underground. Mm-hmm. There are some aerial lines, and it has 308 stations.
That's a huge number. I didn't know that number.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Okay, thanks for all those like historical context, Kelly. Should we now go through some interesting facts about the Parisian Metro?
Yes, please.
I did not say fun facts. I think they're fun though.
I'm gonna just take them as being fun.
Okay.
Because they are gonna be so fun.
Okay, so I'll go first then.
Okay.
I'd say the most important fact about the metro is the fact that it's a public service. It's a fun fact because like it's public service. So the RATP that you just mentioned not only operates the metro, but also the RER, the Regional Express Rail, the trams and the buses. So there's actually a fascinating story of how RATP combining all these different kinds of public transportation caused big backlash. But I will leave that to our banlieue episode. It's very much related. So yes, of course, RATP generates revenue, but it's funded by us, the taxpayers.
And you know, when I was looking at this, I actually just learned what RER stood for when I was doing this. I didn't know it stood for the Regional Express Rail. And then I was like, oh, of course, RER. Yeah. So there you go. Also another fun fact, just on its own.
Go ahead.
So my turn. Okay, so Paris Intramuros, it's actually quite small.
Mm-hmm.
And the metro stations in the city are really close, actually quite close together.
Yeah.
So in the dense centre, stations are often within like 500 metres from like one another, and it just makes it easier to walk between stations rather than use the underground and go through and wait your full 3 or 4 minutes for a train.
It's a 5 minute walk, honestly, so.
Yeah. And also sometimes it's ridiculous, you can see the next station from the platform you're standing on, and you can see, okay, I'm only going over there. It's ridiculous. The Paris Metro was built so densely close together that there are several stations that have like been abandoned for not being useful. They're called ghost stations, and it's such a cool concept. I would love to see some Paris ghost stations. So
what are those ones? I didn't know they were ghost stations. Can we go visit? Do you know?
I don't think so. I think it's not authorised to the public. Okay. But if you're like a sort of urbex explorer and you kind of know where these little sort of secret places are, then yeah, because there's a few photos of them online, so someone can access them.
Okay.
But yeah, so you've got like the Croix Rouge, is Saint-Martin number 1 and 2. Arsenal, there was one at Champ de Mars, which is now used for RERC, so that one might still be accessible. And a place called Haxo Station, so yeah.
I never heard about these stations. Interesting, okay. So here's another fact. The Paris Metro is not very deep, with many stations about like 6 meters so like about 2 feet underground. The deepest metro station is Abbesse. It's 118 feet, so 36 meters underground, so it's around Montmartre.
Mm.
So when you want to go to like Sacré-Cœur and stuff, and it takes forever to get out of that metro station.
It does.
When you go out there, there's like a little, with the horses.
Oh, a carousel.
Yeah, it's kind of cute. But I mean, just go walk there, like don't go all the way down and try to get up. It takes forever to get up.
Yeah, it takes forever, it hurts, it's good for the ass and thighs,
you
know, the spiral staircase to get out. And also Abbesse notably still has one of those entrances, one of those Art Nouveau entrances.
Yes, it does.
Still a station with
it
one
does.
Of those.
It's very pretty.
Yeah. Back to your question about these ghost stations. Mm-hmm. Just having a look there. So obviously, like I said, like some of these places are used for like film and TV. So things like Amelie's probably like a super famous example. Mm-hmm. You see her walking through, but it's actually signposted as Abbesse, because that's where Amelie lived.
Yes.
But it's actually was this abandoned station in Port de Lille. So for like shooting conditions and stuff, it's like the Port de Lille metro station, the RATP will make trains available to run on it so it looks as realistic as possible, and they'll pay a driver maybe to allow them to use that station. If you're in Paris for the Journée du Patrimoine, you can visit the movie set.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah,
nice.
Let's do that.
Okay, let's do that. Another fact is Châtelet...
Fun fact.
Another fun fact is Châtelet-Léal is one of the biggest metro stations in the world. It connects 5 metro lines and 3 RER lines. It is located on the site of Grand Châtelet, a former fortress which served as a prison and court under the Ancien Régime. So before being demolished in 1802 during the reign of Napoleon Bonaparte.
Yeah, so I get another metro station that's just steeped in history, like, yeah, you know. Yeah. But I would do anything to avoid having to go to Châtelet for anything. There's just, it's far, it's too big, there's too much going on, there's too many sorties, exits, and it's just, I would...
It's impossible to get out of. Like, and if you are under the influence of anything while taking the metro, I'm not suggesting that you should do any of that stuff, but do not go to Châtelet.
Because you get stuck, you just have to live there.
You just have to live there.
Okay, so let's talk about like the metro quotidien, okay, yeah. The daily use. So how often do you actually take the metro and what lines are you on?
I take it pretty frequently. I love taking the metro, honestly. I don't like the bus. And when I used to live in République, I loved like how connected it was. There was line 3, 5, 8, 9 and 11. I mean, what a fucking luxury.
Yeah.
Nice. Now I'm connected to line 1 and 8. RATP conductors are going to hate me for saying this, but I love line 1 because it's driverless, so it's automated, and it literally connects Paris from east to west. It's just like line 14 and recently line 4, went conductorless, if that's a word. Mm. It's a really luxurious line, and it's always on time, and I love it. So how about you?
So I think, I think I've mentioned before, like I'm on line 7, which is a direct line to my office in the 10th, which is kind of nice. I do often transfer at line 5 at Place d'Italie, which is a few stops away. You mentioned line 8. Line 8, fun fact, it has the most stops of any line. And I hate line 8. It feels really grim. It's never lit properly. And I really hate those soft blue leather seats. They creep me out.
I never thought about the seats, actually. I mean, when I think about like the metro, all I care about is efficiency, okay? Yeah. How often is there a train? How long does it take from to get from like point A to point B?
Yeah.
So for that reason, I agree. I also do not like line 8. Yeah, but although like I feel like we're quite privileged in terms of the lines, how we use them, how often we use them. Because like if you ask people who use line 13, for example, on a regular basis, they'll tell us it's the worst.
Yeah, absolutely.
And remember that reel we keep sending each other on Instagram? There's this guy who's rating lines and like he has a special category for RERD and line 13.
Yes. It's so bad. It doesn't even fall into his category of rating system. Yes. It's so funny. And I have to admit that RERD deserves its place as well.
It's horrible, RERD. It's horrible. And he puts line 1 and 6 and like Ligne Royale.
Yeah.
I'm going to disagree with him on that one because I have to take line 6 to go to work.
Uh-huh.
Packed like sardines in the morning. But he puts it there because it's an Aryan line, as well as like there's a point. So for tourists, if you're listening, there's a point you see the Eiffel Tower on that line.
It's one of the most beautiful views of the Eiffel Tower that you can get in the whole city, actually. And it's between the stations Bir Hakeim and Passy, because it goes over the bridge of Bir Hakeim. And just get ready, be on the right hand side of the train. And just be ready to with your camera phone to snap it, because it is actually beautiful when it passes. So yeah, line 6 for me, the problem with it is during the summer because it's not air conditioned.
Yeah.
And because it's outside, the sun beats down on it and it becomes a big portable oven and it's awful.
It's true.
So swings and roundabouts with line 6, to be honest. Okay, so let's talk about clichés and stereotypes. That's what we're here to do. So we want to go through some of the clichés that are related to using the Paris metro and play a bit of a true or false game. So you ready?
Yes. I'll ask first. I'll go first. Let's start with one of the biggest concerns of the tourists. The pickpockets. Attenzione, pickpockets!
Des pickpockets peuvent être présents en station ou à bord des trains. Fermez bien vos sacs et soyez vigilants en utilisant votre smartphone.
Are there really that many incidents, and what can people do to avoid being a victim?
Yeah, I think it is a real problem in certain stations, more touristic stations. Mm-hmm. So I would probably advise, like, just to be on your guard when you're in these stations. Mm-hmm. Pickpockets in the metro, they often come in the form of groups of kids. Yeah, like Fagin's gang in Oliver, but without the whimsy and all the singing. You know, keep your belongings in a zip bag close to you at all times. Maybe try and get some sort of attachment for your phone as well to keep that on you, because people have been known to just, like, out of nowhere, just snatch phones out of people's hands and just run.
Yeah.
And then the doors close and you can't get off the train to catch them. My other tip is look confident.
Yeah.
Like, if you mosey around looking like you're a tourist or like you're lost in a station, you will be targeted by pickpockets. Either plan out your trip and know exactly what exit that you're taking, especially in a station like Shatley. It's best to know in advance and just really confidently move with the crowd and don't look like you don't belong there. That's probably the best way to avoid it.
That's a great tip. Act like a Parisian. Fake it until you make it.
Exactly.
Just like us.
Just like we're doing. So yeah, the next cliche and stereotype is the Parisian metro, like, really dirty and does it smell?
So this stereotype in a way is correct. Yes, it is pretty dirty and sometimes it smells. But I think this is because of the condition of the cleaning workers. So they don't actually work for RATP. They don't have the same rights and working conditions of those workers. They are hired by external companies, and a great majority of them are actually immigrants. And sometimes they're paperless. They're paper, sans papier.
Wow, right, okay.
So paperless people who, these are the people who come to France seeking refuge.
Mm, okay.
So in 1977, they went actually on a massive strike and finally got some rights, such as like earning a minimum wage. They were not making that money.
Wow, okay.
Having proper equipment, like super basic stuff like gloves, which they were not given. And having like a fixed location so they wouldn't lose their seniority and benefits.
Okay.
So things got better as of the 80s, but it's still not ideal. So, I mean, if you don't improve the working conditions of the workers, then I don't think they can perform well. So maybe let's concentrate on like having better conditions for cleaning workers and then see.
Yeah.
But the stereotype is unfortunately true, but I just wanted to like provide that context.
Yeah, and absolutely, yes, of course, you have to think about the people who are there to clean up after people who are using the metro as a toilet, you know, for example, which is, you know, which is gross. Like, you know, and I mean, they're people do that not thinking about the poor people who have to actually fucking clean this up, like, you know. So yeah, it's good to have that context as well.
Yeah. Let's move to the next point then.
Mm.
Paris Metro has a lot of musicians on its trains.
Yes, this is true. I have a bit of a love-hate thing with musicians on the trains. They're just so loud. Like, they can drown out your headphones if you're listening. So they just stand there and drown everything out by singing and playing their instruments. I've heard trumpets, accordions, ukuleles, people with guitars, like, full bands. Like, and sometimes they're in the station and actually, you know, some of them can be pretty cool. Actually, just the other day, I heard a guy playing Fame on a trumpet. It was the best and worst thing. But it's when they get on a carriage, so it's kind of funny when musicians get onto a carriage with like their instrument or whatever it is they're doing. Like, the whole carriage rolls its eyes. You can see everyone just going like that. Oh God. And yeah, you know what? It's annoying, but you know, you've got the choice. You can change cars at the next stop if you have to. And, like, you know, the important thing is just don't be a dick about it, you know. These people are out trying to get some money and entertain some people on the metro. They're not doing any harm.
Exactly.
Just don't be a dick. That's
exactly.
It. One for you, Dilara, is how about homeless people or people begging in the metro?
I think we both said, like, you and I, we wanted to do an episode on homelessness in Paris in general. So I won't get into too much detail for now. But yes, homeless people are allowed to enter the metro. They usually sleep in the stations in their sleeping bags. This gives them some kind of like a shelter, so they do absolutely nothing to you. They're harmless.
Yeah.
I disagree with people saying they're aggressive. No, I've lived here 11 years. I haven't been attacked by a homeless person. Anyone who has an issue with this, I'd advise them just to check their privilege. Honestly, like, I have really strong opinions on this.
Yeah.
So, yes, they're homeless people. They don't do anything to you. Stay away. Mind your own business.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just take the metro and, like, do your commute and leave. Anyway, I'm getting tense. Moving on now. Okay, Kaylee, this is a fun one. What about slow-walking tourists or the people who lack any special awareness?
Oh my god, this is my button.
You're gonna get tense now.
I am gonna get tense. You know what, okay, like, in fairness, right, this is a problem everywhere, right? But I think because the metro has limited space, it kind of exasperates the issue. People in the metro just don't seem to notice or care that other people exist. Like, there are so many behaviours that just kind of drive me mad on a daily basis when I'm in the metro. Look, like, I'm not perfect, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
you are perfect.
Oh, thanks, man. You're perfect too. And it's, you know, and it's a free world, right? Yeah. And people are free to take up space, you know, whatever you want. But look where you're going. Just acknowledge that other people exist and that they're in the same space as you. It drives me crazy. I'm going to start flipping tables.
Yeah, but like, all these things that we're talking about right now, yes, they are true, but I think I also find them a bit relative. So, for example, you come from a city that's lowly populated, like less population, can I say that?
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Istanbul, maybe in terms of like cleanliness, you will be more satisfied, but all the rest is worse. Like, it's a really, really crowded city. I traveled in the UK and in Northern and Southern Europe. I'm not going to say I traveled all around the world and tried every single, like, metro. But I feel like nothing compares to the efficiency of Parisian metro. I feel like we're doing an RATP advertisement here. I'm so sorry to be such a hooligan on this, but I absolutely love being able to have such a frequent service with metros that have so many like carriages so that they can hold as many passengers as possible in one go. Like, they're a bit larger compared to like the London metro, for example.
Right.
And they're cheap. So for listeners like who are interested in learning about like how to get around in Paris using the metro, Navigo is the name of the card that we use in Paris. And 1 year Navigo subscription, you mentioned this in the Teaching English episode, by the way, I just realized I repeated you.
That's okay.
1 year Navigo subscription costs today in 2024 is 950 euros. So which is around 86.4 euros monthly. And actually, you pay for 11 months and you get, like, if you get the annual subscription, you get 1 month free. And half of that is paid by your employee by law, unless you're a remote worker. Or
an English teacher.
Exactly. So, at the end of the day, Kelly, we're paying 39.6 euros, okay, 40 euros, let's say, a month with limitless commutes, including the Charles de Gaulle airport and the suburbs.
Mm.
So I think it's a pretty good deal when you come to think about it that way. I looked into, to prove like my hooliganism on why Paris metro is the best, some research, and the Global Transport Index put Paris on top one city in the world for the best public transportation. So their criteria is exactly my criteria.
Oh, how interesting.
How extensive it is, how frequent the vehicles are, and how affordable it is. So Paris is followed by Stockholm, Hong Kong, and New York, and then after that is Oslo.
Okay.
So I have like proof.
Are you sure that's like the Global Transport Index or like the Dalarna's Transport Index? It seems to be the same thing. So since you mentioned prices, right, should we just talk a little bit about the metro ticket prices increasing during the Olympics?
I looked into this before this episode, so I'll put a link in the show notes that explains it really well, actually, which is like shockingly interesting for like any French administration document to be. It explains it really well.
I'm not sure I believe you.
You're gonna think like I fabricated these like resources. Anyway, if you have a nearly Navigo, and honestly, if you're living here, just get that, like with a long-term French contract if you have it. But yes, if you have a yearly or monthly Navigo subscription, nothing will change for you. If you have a Navigo Liberté Plus, which you can only get by living here in Paris, so you need to prove of like residency, again, nothing will change for you. Let's say you don't have any of these, but you have the Navigo Easy app, which is actually attached to a card, but whatever, you can charge up to 30 tickets in that app. So basically, if you're a resident in Paris, you can continue using the public transportation as you'd like. I mean, if you dare to go out during the Olympics. But if you don't have any of these options that I just counted, you will end up paying double the regular price. So this is true. I mean, I think a big majority of the Parisian metro revenue is generated by the tickets that are being sold. So maybe it's fair for them to increase this price for this period. Although I need to mention that the period is from between 20th of July to 8th of September, which is actually longer than the Olympics duration. The Olympics are only 2 weeks.
Yeah. So yeah, a couple of things on this I want to mention. Yes, the ticket prices are going to double if you're just buying one ticket. And I think there's been a bit of controversy about that because I think a lot of people heard that actually travel in the metro would be free during the Olympic Games. But actually it's the exact opposite. We're going to charge you double for it. So I think it's made a lot of people a little bit like, well, here, hang on a minute, like we've told one thing, something else has happened, and now it is confirmed that it will be double the price. My other concern is that if they double the price and people are willing to pay that on the Paris Metro, do you really think that they're actually going to reduce those prices again to what they were before the Games? I mean, they're not going to keep them double, but they might not put them back to the price that they were originally, because they've seen that people, tourists coming to this city, are willing to pay it anyway. That's my other concern about this.
I have no idea. So let's revisit this after 8th of September.
Yeah.
I hope it won't be the case though, because that's an arnac.
Yes, absolutely. So the other thing about the metro is that there's always work and travel. You know, updating and modernising the network is absolutely essential. I mean, maybe it was efficient back in the 1800s to have a network that branches out from one central point, i.e. Chatelet, and spreading out over the suburbs and the city. But the population has grown. People are trying to cross the city for all manner of different reasons. And actually, I know of people who live in the suburbs who have to take a train into the city just to transfer to another train to leave the city, rather than going round the city, which...
I think it was really made without thinking the suburbs connection. And maybe it's also due to the snail structure of the city, like growing from the central towards the outer circle. But like that's not relevant on today's contemporary Paris anymore.
So since I got here, there's been talk of this like mythical... It always goes to crickets when I speak.
Yeah, I know.
It's like boring. okay.
Plus, the cricket sound is always used for that, like when there's like awkward silence, and that's when you're talking.
So, since I got here, there's been talk of this like mythical Line 15, which will serve as a ring like around the city, but will this actually happen? So the southern section of this line is scheduled for 2025, and then it's supposed to be complete in the early like 2030s, which is exactly 100 years since the expansion into the suburbs, which is an insane amount of time.
Kaylee, I arrived here in 2013. I had friends living in Boulogne-Billancourt who had their hopes on this line. like a few years already back then.
Yeah.
So it's been 11 years. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't like hold my breath on that line.
Yeah, probably not. So you know what? In the meantime, I'll just like settle for the expansion of line 14. It's gone under. Right now it's gone under so many works, and it's actually because it is being expanded out to Orly Airport, which will be super useful.
Yeah.
There's also going to be a stop quite near here, just near the hospital at Kremlin-Bicêtre.
Nice.
So yeah, I will settle for that for the moment. Okay, so now we are going to give a countdown of our top pet peeves of using the Paris Metro. So what annoys us the most?
Yes. Okay.
So coming in at number 5, we have people taking up too much space. So people sitting on the folding seats and people not taking off their backpacks on a busy train.
Yeah, these seats actually, like, it's called strapontine, which sounds like a strap-on in French. I mean, those seats are only okay to sit when the train is pretty vacant. So it's like metro etiquette 101. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, it's even like there's signs saying it. Yeah,
absolutely. Stand up when the train's busy.
Yeah, like, exactly. You
know, it's not difficult. And coming in at number 4, we have having loud music or conversation on your phone with no headphones.
I just can't stand it. I just can't stand it. And people like speaking really loud. I'm a really loud person.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah. We have to put the mic closer to Kaylee. That's how loud I am. But I can recognize someone is not a local on the metro from the way they speak and the way they use their phone.
Yeah, absolutely. Just put some headphones in. And coming in at number 3, people leaning on the bar when the train is busy. This is a big one for me. Don't lean on the bar when the train is busy. There's nowhere really to hold on to, and if that train breaks, we're all going to fall over. And I don't want to be like grabbing a bar and grabbing your hair or your jacket or anything else. Just use the bar the way it's supposed to be used and stop leaning on it, please. And coming in at number 2, people standing too close to the door and not allowing anyone off the train before they get on.
I mean, are they worse than the people who still try to get into the train while other people are trying to get off? I'm not sure which one is worse, but yeah. Like, the door needs to flow. Like, yeah. The door is there for a purpose, not to block it.
Yeah, just stand a little bit to the side, exactly. Let people off, then there's space for you to get on. Don't panic. Okay, exactly. The doors are going to be open for a while. And coming in at number 1... people stopping dead on the stairs, at the top of the stairs, at the escalator, standing chatting and blocking your way.
This is so annoying. Also, like, the people who stand on the left side of the escalator. No, I mean, come on, just don't block me my way. Like, and yes. Also, like, people not having their Navigo or ticket ready at the, like, the turnstiles.
Get your ticket out before you get to a turnstile. It's so easy. And, oh my God, it's the worst. That is definitely number 1 pet peeve.
Yeah, as you can, like, hear from our frustration, we're there to move from point A to B, so get the fuck out of our way and make our journey efficient, you noobs.
It's so annoying. I don't actually think it's just us. The RATP have actually started like a poster campaign in the metro called Metro Etiquette. It tackles these exact behaviours that we've just actually described, and it's definitely not just us. And you know,
I think it could possibly be to train the Parisians before the Olympics, yeah. So that like they have a good vision of the Parisians using the metro.
Possibly. But yeah, I'll post some of these photos maybe on our stories because they're actually really
funny. Yeah, yeah. I took some as well.
As much as I love the history surrounding the metro, obviously I've been talking about this for like a long time, using it on a daily basis can actually be a bit of a drag. It can. Like, it's old and it's janky. There's very little accessibility and the trains are always crowded and it's reliably unreliable.
I'm actually really glad you mentioned the inaccessibility part, because like if you have any mobility issues, Paris Metro is not for you.
No.
Like my mom of 74 was here and she was like suffering because of the stairs. So it's really not like accessible friendly.
Yeah. And also children. You take children on the metro and it's really difficult even for them to use it, or, you know, the buggies, things like this. So the accessibility is a problem for
Definitely.
Sure.
Definitely.
Using the Paris Metro, it's a test of your patience and it's a test of goodwill to your fellow humans. You really need both of these if you want to survive the Paris Metro.
Overall, I don't actually have that many issues with the Parisian Metro, I would say. Yes, there are some downfalls, but I guess having lived in Istanbul, where public transport is at another level, and then having lived in the suburbs of upstate New York, where public transport actually doesn't exist at all, I think I'm just grateful for what we have here.
Mm.
Although, like, you and I are so different in this matter, I thrive in crowded places and you thrive in calmness.
Mm.
So this contradiction doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. So, Dilara, do we have a quote today?
Today's quote is from Kafka. So he said, the metro furnishes the best opportunity for the foreigner to imagine that he has understood quickly and correctly the essence of Paris.
The key word for me in that whole quote is imagine. Like, yeah, you can imagine that you've understood quickly and correctly, like, the essence of Paris when you're in the city, and, you know, but that's not everything that's here. I mean, for sure, I've said it before, like, using the Paris Metro is like seeing uncensored Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like almost like a little city of its own under the actual city, but it's still just a slice of life here. But it's, I do kind of agree with the quote,
mm-hmm.
but again, imagine is the word.
It's also funny, we talked about this before, but we didn't mention it in the recording. So all these etiquettes that we were just talking about. If you go underground Paris on a weekend at 2 a.m., the metro is going to be a completely different ambiance. None of these etiquettes will apply. I had like once a drunk or high French girl throw a lipstick at my head because she wanted to give me a gift, which hurt my head, but she could not comprehend that. So like these kind of things will change.
Mm.
People eating kebabs
mm.
in the metro, normally like eating would disgust us,
yeah.
but that happens. So in a way, I think Parisian metro, depending on what time of the day and like weekday or weekend day you visit the metro, it's gonna change. But it is true, it's only just a small part of it.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
So thanks for listening to our episode about the metro. We had a lot of fun doing this one and hope that you found this like entertaining and interesting. The best way to get us more followers is word of mouth. So please, if you like to share our podcast with them, with your friends who might be interested in listening to this, we would really appreciate it. Rate and review if you want. And throw us any questions, concerns, just say hi on our email as usual. And thanks for listening.
À la prochaine.
Ciao.
Voyez Diderot. Voyez Diderot.